Hi, my name is Michelle and I'm an alcoholic. I just want to start by saying that I'm very nervous and it's also a real honour to be asked to share here. I think that, you know, it's wonderful to hear about how people in recovery, how they work the steps and their experience of the steps. And it's wonderful to hear from people who've been doing it for a long time. And I think it's also great to hear from people like, you know, myself who, you know, just in the beginning, you know, I'm nearly 2 years sober and, you know, I'm really in the thick of step seven and really putting all of the steps into my life. And for me, when I think about step seven, I think about change. And, you know, I'll just sort of, you know, identify a little bit. I came into AA 5 years ago and you told me that I was sick, that I had an illness that I had no power over, and I was enormously relieved to find out that the way I drank and all the consequences of my drinking and my behaviour, that was all about having an illness. And I was just enormously relieved, and it enabled me to, it opened up a little window and a little opportunity to stick around, and it gave me hope that unlike lots of other places that I've been for help, that you actually might be able to help me. And but you know, I soon discovered, and I was fortunate enough. I've always been fortunate to have had a sponsor, and a sponsor that's been very clear about doing the steps. You know, so in my recovery, which has been an up and down process, and I've had a couple of relapses, I've always either been doing the steps or not doing them. You know, it's never been something that I've put aside and waited till later. I've always either consciously been doing it or really been uncomfortable about not actually doing it or walking at it. And you know, so I started doing the steps, and very soon on I realised, and I was astounded, that you know, that the problem wasn't the drinking. You know, the problem was that, you know, you told me I was sick and that I just had to put the alcohol down and that I'd get better, you know, my life would get better. But what I soon found out, and I was really appalled, you know, that, you know, that the problem's me and that I'd have to change. And and it was excruciating. And and you know, I really don't think that I have really come to an understanding of step six and seven until this recovery, this last time. And like John, and I find it very hard to talk about six and seven as separate steps, because they're really companion steps. Like John, I did 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then I thought, here are my debt. You know, like I know I'm powerless over alcohol. I believe you that I can get well, and that there must be that in itself is a power greater than myself. And you know, I've made a decision to take the suggestions, and in a sense, that was my decision to turn my will over to this thing that was greater than myself. And I'd done this fearless, this searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, and I'd had this list of defects, and indeed it was a list, you know, of defects. And then I don't know, I did six and seven, tiny little bit in the book, and then I leapt on to step 8 and 9, and you know, like I didn't get step 6 and 7, and I, you know, I really don't know why I relapsed. I've got a few theories. You know, I think I think that willingness and that ability to surrender is just a gift. You know, it's not something that I've been able to manufacture. This time around, what I've experienced with step seven is that, just like I've had to accept that I have no power over drinking, I've had to see my defects in all their ugliness and inaction, and I've had to experience them over and over and over again, and to see the insanity of doing this and behaving and responding this way over and over before I can actually see my defect for what it is, or to see my part in it and the way I'm responding to it. But I've actually had to see that it is objectionable, and it sort of talks about that in the 12 and 12. And I've got to say, that chapter in the 12 and 12 and step 7 is not easy. You know, I often go to the 12 and 12 to help me understand the particular step I'm on, and in all other respects, the 12 and 12 has helped me on every other step except step 7. And I read it again last night, and it talks about being humble and developing humility, and it really, I sort of went away from reading it more, you know, confused. So I'm really just really talking about my own experience of step 7. And you know, I come away from my step 5, and I know I could see the pattern of my responses and the way that my fears and my resentments and the way that I respond to the world has not served me well. But that's just a beginning, you know, and I've actually, and this is the part I find most appalling, you know, I've had to practice those bad responses and bad habits over and over and over again in recovery, to get into an enormous amount of pain, to see them, to find them objectionable, and to then absolutely get on my knees and say, like, I'm buggered again, like I did when I first came in, and said, I know nothing, I'm powerless, I can't do anything to change the fact that I keep drinking. And I said that to my sponsor. I said, "You've got me. I'm buggered. I'm just out of all ideas, really." And my experience in recovery has been I've had to do that with these defects, and you know that is really tough for someone whose biggest defect, like John's, is that not only do I require your approval to feel good about myself, but you actually have to think I'm pretty shit hot, you know. So that's really, you know, like, and I've had to really behave badly, you know, and I've had to actually, you know, not only not get your approval, but step on your toes and have you retaliate and be in really awkward situations over and over again before I can actually, you know, be slapped around the head enough to see that this is the thing I need to change, this is where I need to change, and I can't change it. I'm powerless. And I'm in the thick of that right now, you know, and I have just begun to practice what I think for me is step 7, which is to start practicing doing things differently. You know, defects of character are just habits practiced over a long period of time, responses, you know, out of fear. And I've been doing that for a long, long time, and it's going to take a long, long time to practice new responses. And I have to act as if I don't have that fear of what you think of me, whether I do or not. I mean, that's really, for me, that's what step 7 has been about. And it has been completely not of my doing. I don't wake up, you know, I don't come home after a really tough day at work and say, I have to practice, you know, tolerance and I have to do this, you know. Because I can't. I can't think my way. I can't use the thing that's broken to think my way to a better solution. I've had to go to my sponsor time and time again, and I'll be in the thick of something and I'll ring up and I'll say, you know, this is happening, this person's... And I'm in the process of that at work, and it's no coincidence that I've been asked to share on step 7 this weekend, because I'm in agony at work. I've been put in a... put in a position where I've got responsibility over other people, and I've never had that before. The more I try to have people like me and respect me, the more they don't, and it's just appalling. I've got people that I normally enjoy wonderful relationships with that, you know, they don't talk to me anymore, and it's just, you know, I'm having another surrender again, you know. And I believe that situation has been, thanks, Doug, I believe that situation has been put in my life because I really, really have to learn, you know, this is a job where people aren't going to like me. This is a job where the more I try to have people like me, probably I'm going to get the reverse effect. And it's a job where, you know, I really have to be honest and it's just another test. You know, I got a bit comfortable there, and then I moved into this new job, and I'm right out of my comfort zone again. And, you know, my sponsor always says that, you know, and it's just something that she borrows from Al-Anon, that it's, you know, it's better to start practicing something and doing it badly than not doing it at all. And I have to give myself that time, and I have to trust God that if I just start to practice, you know, go, you know, I have to practice against these traits, you know, practice new ways of responding, and trust that God will carry me and will catch me when I fall, and that falling and making mistakes is a part of growth. And that's been tough, you know, and I've just seen myself being able to do this time around in my recovery, and I find it, I'm just really astounded by it, that I can ask for help, that I can cry in front of my boss, that I can say when I don't like something or I don't think it's fair without fear of what he will think of me. So I think, you know, for me, step seven is, you know, they say about step six and seven, that it really sorts out the men from the boys. And it really does, because just, you know, in my experience, it just hasn't been as easy as just walking away after step six with my little handy A4 list of, you know, defects and going, right, you know, I'll just ask God to remove them and that'll be fine, you know, it'll be in my time, exactly when I need to have that particular irritating or defect of mine removed, it'll happen. And in my experience, in fact, that irritating little defect of mine will keep rearing its ugly head, because I really, you know, when I think that I want to remove it, I really don't. I really, you know, in my experience, you know, when I saw in my, when I did my fifth step with my sponsor, and I really did, I saw it was actually ludicrous, the sort of repetitive nature of doing this stuff over and over and over again. You know, I just looked at the litany of disasters that was my fourth step, and what, well, the miracle that happened in step five is that I actually saw, it was less about what happened and what I did, and it was more in that third and fourth column, and the fourth column was so repetitive, you know, and I was able to see that, oh, you know, God, it's just this, that's all it is, it's just these defects. But, you know, and I genuinely wanted them removed, I wanted a better life, but my experience has been that it's I've had to repeat all of those defects again and again and again before I have really been willing to change, or to have God change me. And as John said, you know, I've had to just keep surrendering, you know, and I'm back on my knees again in my recovery with this situation at work. And I really think that's one of my major defects, this need to be perfect, that I won't do anything until I get it right, you know, it's crippling. And it stands in the way of me having a relationship with other people and really letting God in. And I was talking to David about step seven, and David was talking about how, and I didn't see it like this, but actually this has really been my experience, that when I really truly am on my knees and surrendering, and I'm asking God, just have, you know, take this away from me, that I open that up for good stuff to come in. And that's been my experience with all the other steps, that when I, you know, that when I freed myself of the wreckage of my past that was like a millstone around my neck in the process of step eight and nine, that it allowed, it created space for some really good stuff to come in. And I have to say, with the steps, it's like when I first learnt to drive a car, everything was really mechanical. Like I could tell you exactly what I had to hear for when I was changing to second gear. If you ask me now, I wouldn't know. I just know. I know I have to change to second gear. But when I was learning to drive, I was really conscious of, you know, changing the, doing the clutch and you know, accelerator, and everything was just so labour intensive, and I was so aware and conscious of all the little bits and pieces I did that made up this whole picture of getting the car moving. And I stalled and I bunny hopped and I, you know, made all these mistakes, and I looked like a crazy driver, like you do when you're young. And it's a bit like that with the steps. I really can't talk about a step in isolation, because it is really the whole, you know, it's the whole lot that works really well. And if I really work the steps, and you know, I think that when I hear people say, "What step are you working on?" I don't really understand it unless you're really new and you're doing them for the first time. But you know, I constantly find that if I'm having difficulty with a step, it's because I'm not really trusting in God, you know. And it's like with my defects, you know, when I'm really in agony, like I have been recently, the last 3 months with this bloody job, you know, it really is about going back. And when I made that decision that, I trusted God with my life, and I had to do all these weird and wonderful things that you told me I had to do, didn't make any sense, but that now through repeated experiences, you know, I now have that faith that that it works and that God's looking after me. So I find it actually really difficult to talk about individual steps, and that but I think that step 6 and 7, it's, you know, they're steps that aren't talked a lot of. You don't hear people talking about them a lot. And there's not much, I agree with John, there's not much in the big book. And for me, the 12 and 12, you know, I found that a little bit more confusing than it was, help. And it's a step that I really, really needed the support and guidance from a sponsor, and going to steps meetings and doing stuff like we're doing this weekend. And like with this whole process of getting well and living a completely different life and living life sober, it's just practice. You know, I've had to practice. You know, I just thought if I didn't like a character, defect, I'd say, okay, God, I can see it now. It's pretty bad. You've got to take it away. And then boom, the new wonderful character trait would just miraculously appear. But that hasn't been the case. I've actually had to develop it. I've had to practice it. It's had to grow and deepen, and it's hard work. You know, it's hard work, and that's why I've needed to ring my sponsor. You know, I phone my sponsor every day for 2 years. You know, I could never do that before, and I've just had to hear that message over and over again, and for her to be able to highlight for me stuff I can't see about myself, and to say this is remember the last time when you were doing, when this was happening, and it was about this. Well, this is the same thing. It just looks a little bit different. Oh yeah. Oh, it's that bloody hell. It's that fear of what other people think of me again. You know, just it's a completely different form, and it's very subtle and cunning, this disease. And, you know, I've sort of done the steps, or attempted to do the steps sort of in the past two recoveries, so this is my third time, and it really feels different. I really feel that I've had like a revolutionary change in me, that I'm radically different from what I was 2 years ago. And it's just been through a process of doing these steps, and I've got to say, I was terrified when I came back in. I was terrified that I was constitutionally incapable of being honest, that I was different from you, that I wouldn't be able to get well. And I can tell you that I was able to, that God enabled me to take direction and to get well, even though I didn't believe that would happen for me. And I can't stress enough the importance of, I don't think no matter how, I hope no matter how long I've been around, that I'll always have a sponsor, because that disease is still there, you know, it's still in my head, and I know from my experience of relapsing that, you know, that you can, I can lose that connection to God, and it, you know, it's frightening, it's, you know, terrifying. So, time's up for me. Thank you very much for the privilege of being here and sharing in this weekend, and for the community to ask me to share, and I hope that this weekend has been as great for you as it has been for me, and I'd like to thank the committee for just doing such a fantastic job, and I hope to see these weekends, you know, continue. Thank you.